away we go. It is Wednesday, May the 26th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour. Vax-O-Million Day, number one. First Vax-A-Million. Tonight will be drawn at 7:29 p.m. I'm sure on all the local stations. Over 2 million people have entered. The actual drawing took place on Monday. It has been verified according to the press release we all got. So we'll find out tonight at 7:29 who's a millionaire. Somebody in Ohio who's been vaccinated by tomorrow morning at this time will be $1 million richer. How interesting is that? Joined for the next 2 hours by Glenn Coble here on WWGH Radio. Then he'll be along with A Progressive Life from 12 to 1 today. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 to 7. Glenn, you entered, right? Last week you had not entered.
Well, I didn't even know we had to until I came in and you told me I had to enter. So
I think you owe me half that money if you win.
Hey, Some of the money.
Some.
I'll put it into the station.
Sure. 100,000.
We'll talk about it.
That would be a good number.
100,000's more than I would. That's a tithe.
Well, that leaves you with a lot of money left. It would still leave you. Because what would taxes on this be? About 200,000?
It'd be closer to 3, wouldn't it?
30%?
I would think it'd be closer to 3.
Maybe. Yeah,
I don't know.
So you're going to be left with about $700,000.
Yeah, I could do with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I could do with that. I could get a really nice motorhome for that.
Well, you know what? I just think people who have $100,000. Now, people don't think of that as a lot of money right now, but if you're just handed $100,000, I mean, you theoretically, if you didn't live huge, you could buy a car, you could buy a house. And if you have no house payment and no car payment, what's your overhead every month?
Well, you know, this is kind of a rude thing to talk about, but what I'm about to say. When my mother-in-law passed, she was 99, I think, and she and her husband had accrued millions. But those millions turned into hundreds of thousands by the time she passed away, just because that's what happens when you're in healthcare places and stuff like that. But anyway, so all the children, we all got, and this is the rude part, I guess you're not supposed to tell people, but we all got around $200,000.
That's a good chunk.
It was a nice amount of money. It was also what determined when I walked in and said, I'm leaving work. We've been able to live not comfortably, well, yeah, comfortably, we didn't go out and buy stuff. But we've been able to maintain our standard of living with that and our Social Security pretty comfortably with that type of money. I don't know how people can do it if all they have is Social Security, but that's helped us out. And we did invest all of it so that we get money every month. And it's kind of important to do that if you get that type of money. But if I don't win that million tomorrow or tonight, I hope somebody in Marion does.
Well, it'll be interesting because we have 88 counties. Somebody's going to win, and tomorrow that will be the rage.
Yeah.
The winner.
Yeah.
And the media will be after that person.
Poor person.
And, oh, they're going to be after 7:29 tonight. It'll be a thing.
Have you ever interviewed somebody that won the lottery?
You know, I don't know. You know, if I did, I don't remember it, but... Mm-hmm.
That would be something I'd like to interview a person. Maybe I'll look into seeing if I can do that. Because so many of them lose everything by the time they're 3 years down the road.
Well, I'll tell you what the interesting thing on this is. The odds are not good, but they certainly are much better than the lottery.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Much better. You know, 2 million people... That's not a whole lot of people compared to how many people, and you didn't have to pick numbers.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get 5 numbers in a row. All you got to do is be drawn.
Yeah.
So it's a unique idea.
It means that somebody will win.
Somebody will win.
Somebody might not win if you have to draw the right numbers.
And somebody will also get a college scholarship.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would like to have seen it go more, you know, more college scholarships, because I think that's what we're lacking in the United States now is intelligence. And I love listening to Patches this morning. Holy God, that's the best interview I've ever listened to of yours. And I've listened to some very good ones. But that was, well, I'm not sure whether it was the best interview I've ever heard you do, but it was so much fun to listen to his responses to you.
Well, that's what you want to see. Here was the thing years ago when I first started in radio back at WMRN. Nobody was doing interviews with national people.
Yeah.
Because the theory was that why would you do interviews with national people? We're a local station. Well, you know, not get into the history of it, but when they first started as a local station, they were doing interviews with national people. Just somewhere along the line that went by the wayside. So I decided to bring that back because I always thought you can learn a lot. Why does a person have to be living in Marion, Ohio for you to learn from them over the radio? People in Marion know about the JFK assassination. People in Marion have seen Patch Adams, the movie with Robin Williams. People in Marion go to doctors. Why do they have to be located here? I don't think that's... The only thing that I think should be localized on a local station is news.
And your call letters.
And your call. Well, you know, I'm not even sure that's true because I don't know what half these call letters stand for.
Yeah.
I know what ours stand
for.
Yeah,
ours is pretty obvious. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, if I, outside of that, outside of your news every hour, your local news and weather, I don't understand why anything else has to be localized anymore. I think we live with the internet in a far wider world.
Well, it used to be required by the FCC that you do X number of percentage of time for local consumption. But that's pretty much gone by the wayside. I don't think they even have those rules anymore. Do you know?
You know, they do have public inspection files, but our news would qualify as a public service. But also, we do read the press releases that are localized.
Well, we do, but I'm sure there are stations that all they do is play music all day long
and
all night.
I don't criticize that. I'm not angry. Well, I'm not against music, but I'm not really sure how a station that just plays music wall to wall to wall and has a voice come in every 30 minutes or so is really fulfilling the education information requirement.
Now, is there an education requirement for
stations like these? There are.
For our station.
Yeah. Which would be as well as two other stations in Marion.
Yeah, well, now that's probably in our, whatever it's called, our constitution, isn't it? Because we are an educational.
Absolutely.
Thing. Yeah.
But I don't understand how a music station is and all the rest are music stations.
Well, I can't understand why music stations continue because anymore you can buy CDs, you can turn on these stations like what's the one I listen to all the time, I can't remember, anyway, that plays constant music with an occasional ad, but and you don't need to turn on a radio station anymore to listen to music.
No, it's very strange. Who knows? That's about how I feel. Let them do what they want to do, and if you can get by with it, go right ahead. But I do think we need more information in the area.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the big conglomerates that have bought up all the radio stations. All they care about is increasing their bottom line. They don't care about us.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is for Glenn. He said he wanted to interview somebody that won the lottery.
Yeah.
There was a guy in Prospect that when it first came out won $1 million.
Okay.
And I think his last name was Wheeler.
Wheeler? Okay, I'll see if I can look it up.
I don't know if he's still alive or anything, but you could research that.
Yeah, I will. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. I'd love to do that because I'd like to see, you know, you hear all these horror stories where the guy wins $50 million and within 3 years it's all gone.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear some stories from people like that.
Okay.
Thanks. Wheeler, you think. Okay.
Wheeler over in Prospect.
Thank you.
You know, you could live in Prospect on millions.
Oh, You could live in Prospect on hundreds.
Yeah, you could do well over in that neck of the
woods.
And
I'm not criticizing Wheeler or Prospect. I like Prospect. I've driven through there. I've campaigned through there. I love Prospect. But you're not going to need a lot of money to live there.
No, but to me, it's a, I don't know, the times I've been there, it's okay, but I like outlying communities. I'm not saying that at all. There are several outlying communities that I like a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It's just that particular one, for whatever reason, I don't know. There's just...
You're going to get calls about that.
I know, I don't... Well, you know what? It's just one of those... The floods, I guess.
I don't like that either.
Yeah. I think that would wear on me after a while. Yeah. But a very nice community.
Oh, and it's clean... That's what I liked about it. It was always clean. I mean, sure, they get mud when the river rises, but it's a nice, clean town. Everybody I talked to there, even though a lot of them were not going to vote for me because I was a Democrat, most of them were very cordial and very nice people. I miss... That's one of the things I miss about not being on the... on the stump anymore. I used to love to give speeches, and I also used to love, believe it or not, I actually love going around knocking on doors and shaking people's hands, because you got to talk to some really fun people. There were some that were not so friendly, but most of them were...
Some you could do without.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say less than 1%. Yeah.
But there were times you said to yourself...
Why did I get out of that door?
Yeah, I could do without this.
Yeah. There were. I had one guy come up, and he had a ramp on the front of his house. And, you know, a lot of people have ramps on the front of their houses. And I went up, and I knocked on his door, and he came out screaming. Did you not see that ramp? Well, yeah, I saw the ramp. I'm handicapped. He didn't call himself handicapped. I don't know what he called himself, but he was mad at me because I had the audacity to come knock on a person's door that's going to take an extra 30 seconds to get to the door. So, yeah, that was not very much fun. I did apologize. I was still apologizing as the door slammed shut.
Oh, those good memories. Those good memories.
But I also got to speak to a lady that was raised up in Nazi Germany. And we talked about a lot of things that were going on at the time here in the United States, and how she really felt that's the road we were going down at the time.
You know the mistake people make with that whole Hitler-Germany comparison?
Uh-oh, what?
Well, is that they... The main thing people know about the word Nazi and the main thing people know about the word Hitler is the slaughter of Jewish people. And that's what they go to. So when you compare anybody or anything in America to that, that's the trait that they're putting with that.
Yeah, it implies that they're that way.
Yeah, and that's not what's happening here. I think when people are making that comparison, what they're saying is that there's a... And you know what? I have taken heat over this for the years, but history is going to back me up on this. Adolf Hitler was elected. He was not... He became a dictator, but he was elected by his people. Yeah. He did not assume that office just by overthrow. He didn't go in with an army and take it over. They voted him in.
And a lot of people compare that to Trump being elected.
But, and that's where it gets bad, because mm-hmm. Hitler is the worst person in the history, I think, of the world.
Maybe.
So, but in any event, regardless... You don't become a successful politician without being charismatic. Hitler was... Look at the people who came to his speeches.
My,
he was charismatic. He was an awful, awful man, but charismatic.
I don't speak German very well. I took a little bit of German, but as anybody who's listened to my shows knows, I was not good in languages. But I did take German long enough to know a little bit. And I listened to a few of his speeches, and even though I didn't know most of what he was saying... they were inspiring, because he was so charismatic and so...
Yeah, but he was telling Germany what they... After World War I, Germany had been sanctioned by the world. He's saying...
Poorly sanctioned,
too. And he was saying, listen, they're treating us like the heel of the world. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make Germany better than it has ever been. I'm going to make
sounds
sure.
For me.
I'm going to. Well, you know what? The saying was, and it's absolutely true. He. I didn't even want to do it there, but the truth is, the slogan was, "I'm going to make Germany great again." It was. I mean, look it up.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't say that. By
no,
the
but
way.
It's true. It's true. And he came out and he said, "I'm going to get you jobs," because there was a loss of jobs in Germany at that time. Yeah. But you know what? He did deliver.
He got them jobs by killing the people that had their jobs.
Well, not in the beginning. What he did was...
Well, a little bit.
What he did was, is he really beefed up their military, which they weren't allowed to do prior to that.
That's right.
And this is another point about Hitler people don't like, because it's a compliment, but... little Germany with no army at that time, you look at Patton and MacArthur and even Washington and all these great generals, a lot of people who take no bias in it say Hitler was the greatest general there ever had been. For him to do with his army, the Blitzkrieg effect, that he was able to go into and almost defeat the United Kingdom and probably would have defeated the Soviet army had there not been a blizzard, it shouldn't have been that way. They had great leadership.
Well, I'm not sure it was all Hitler's doing. I'm not sure that he was the general in charge, though. I really think he had terrific generals.
But he was okaying it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he certainly understood it.
Or at least he might have understood his generals well enough to know that they were... Brilliant.
From what I've understood, and I may be wrong, is that Hitler was he was more of the brains behind the military part of it. That's why he hired ministers of propaganda and ministers like Hess and Albert Speer and people like that. That he was more military oriented. He wasn't so much about convincing people.
He was really good. I mean, his staff was really good at propaganda and public relations.
Well, that's why they ended up in prison.
Yeah,
and some and some were dead. Absolutely, yeah. But I don't know. I think that you know. Pure evil, absolutely 100%, but you don't about take over the world unless you have something.
Well, I wonder if it was pure evil. It was obviously pure evil to certain people, but to the German people, it was not pure evil. It really helped, like you said, it really helped pull them out of a nothing.
I don't think the German people, an average German citizen, understood the concentration camp.
I think there were people that did know. The people that all they have you ever listened to? I'm not gonna remember what shows, but there are have been a lot of shows talking about the people who lived around the concentration camps. They could smell the flesh burning. They knew what was going on, but they dare not say anything because it might be their flesh burning.
That's what Albert Speer said. Who he was his, I believe, minister of propaganda, but he was there when Hitler died. Mm-hmm. You know, when Hitler and Eva Braun committed suicide, and he did go on trial, and he did get 20 years, and he did get out, and he did write a book. But I've seen Albert Speer. Donnie, you interviewed Albert Speer.
Did he?
Yeah,
wow.
And he told me that...
Donahue, not Mr. Speer. Told you.
Yeah, Donnie, you told me what Speer said.
Yeah, okay.
But he said he asked Speer, you know, how could you... You had to smell the burning flesh. You had to know what was going on. Why didn't you do anything? And he said, yes, I knew what was going on, but he said if I would have said anything, Hitler would have hung me up like a piece of meat.
Yeah. And...
So what do you do?
Unfortunately, that's... things right now are in a situation, and I'm not blaming anybody for this, but we care so much for the almighty dollar or mark or whatever currency your country uses. We care so much about that we don't care about being a good human being. We don't care about... I love listening to Patch. I would bet that he would agree with me on this, that if we would learn how to love each other and not love the dollar, I think think we'd be a lot better off.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I interviewed Ben Ferenz, who is the last living prosecutor from the Nuremberg trials.
Oh, okay.
And Ben said that, of course, everybody knows that, all the German war criminals got up and they all used the same defense. Except Albert Speer. Albert Speer said, "You caught me, I'm guilty."
Okay.
But almost all of them...
I was told to do it.
Yeah, I was following orders.
Yeah.
Following orders. And you know what? It probably is true.
Yeah, yeah. And they probably were frightened that they would be put in the gas chamber themselves if they didn't do what they were told. Yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, that's how power, and especially corrupt power, moves to the top. And we've got a gentleman right now, we have a person right now that brought down an airplane so that he can throw one of his enemies into jail. He brought down an airplane, forced it to land with people from all over the world on that plane, but he brought it down so he could put a journalist in jail. That's the type of thing we cannot allow to stand.
You know, I'm surprised how big this whole issue in Israel and Palestine, because it's been going on for years.
Oh, yeah.
But that it's become very much in the forefront right now. I think it's because it's the first time the United States has not fully supported Israel.
Well, you're not old enough to remember, but I remember way back in the 50s and 60s when Israel was a very young state. There were times like that, and a lot of people were afraid of Israel doing this very thing and displacing all the people that lived in the area that they were taking over. Have you ever seen the movie Exodus?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that'll give you some of the idea of how things... It's kind of whitewashed, but it'll give you some of the idea of why things got going. But
since the start of this after World War II with Israel and Palestine, the United States has pretty much, by and large, always supported Israel.
Most of the time, yeah.
And we're not right now.
Right.
And I think that's why it's making news.
Do you think the reason... Well, is the reason that we support Israel... Because Israel was the genesis of our own religion? Because the other people are Muslim, so.
Right.
But actually,
Arab.
Actually, it was the genesis of their religion as well, come to think of it.
Well, the problem is terrorism has gotten more tied into Arab people who are of the Muslim faith, and that's just the way it is.
I'm going to correct you there. Terrorism has not done that. American propaganda has made it seem that way. Those people in the Middle East who happen to be of the Muslim faith, I am certain most 99% of them are kind, wonderful people. Their religion is, it does have its moments, but so does the Christian religion. We're supposed to stone women to death if they're caught with another man.
But why do you think for really the first time, and I believe that's why it is making all the news, we're not supporting Israel?
I really don't understand. I think Joe Biden is supporting them the best he can. He's trying to support them while pointing out their mistakes. I think we're still kind of supporting them.
Well, I mean, the secret for years, and this is all I can say for sure, is anytime any U.S. president, no matter who it's been, dating back to the 70s, anytime a reporter said, "Does Israel have a nuclear weapon?" they've all said, "We don't know." But we all know they do, and have had one for quite a while.
Do you think the current president would say, "We don't know"?
I don't know. Obama did.
Yeah,
and he knew.
Good point.
He knew. I mean, they've all known. Bush did. You know, it's not a secret that Israel has a nuclear weapon. Matter of fact, we might have given it to them.
We might have, yeah. Or at least the drawing plans for it.
Yeah, because we have been very favorable to Israel for quite some time.
We have. That's true.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott and Glenn. It's Pastor Craig.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, I wanted to jump in there because Sunday morning I spent about the last 15 minutes of my show talking specifically about that situation there in there and gave some historical background and kind of tried to set up why we have so much problems there, but I just kind of wanted to jump in. Glenn, I agree with you 100%, and I said this on Sunday.
that I You're in trouble now, Pastor.
I know, because I needed to go on the air and say I agree with you, Glenn. I at the end of the day, I believe your average Palestinian person just wants to live peacefully there, that does not want to fight. They just want to raise their family. Same way with the average Israeli family.
Yep.
And you have large Palestinian populations that live in Israel, and they coexist together.
Yeah.
The problem that we have, as I pointed out, is that the major organizations that are representing Palestine are Hamas and Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Hezbollah's Hamas's charter and Hezbollah's manifesto, organizations state in their charter and in their manifesto, there cannot be a peaceful a solution, that they must conquer their enemy, the Zionists, by force and by violence. So this is why we have such a hard negotiating a two-state solution, is because both.
Oh, we're losing you.
Very saying that they do not want to have a peaceful solution. They want to conquer and take.
I think there's a huge faction in Israel that also wants a one country state. There are people, and I listened to some people being interviewed that were Palestinian over the weekend, and they were obviously pretty critical of Hamas for their militant stand against allowing the other people to live, and that's encouraging to me to some degree.
Yes, because you know there are a lot of people that do want to work out a solution, but unfortunately you have the leadership of two organizations that want to lead the fight, and they want to conquer, and no other solution.
You know, Pastor, why do you think this time, for really the first time on record, we as the United States are not supporting Israel all out?
I think it goes back to why we've always been such a strong supporter of Israel, and that is, it goes back to the foundation of our country and the belief in the. I'd say, I support those who support Israel, I will bless those who bless Israel, I will curse those who curse Israel. There's always been that religious dynamic,
mm-hmm.
I think, that has led our country to feel it necessary to support Israel. I think we've seen that waning, particularly with this particular administration, because let's face it, our country in general has moved away from biblical principles and biblical validity. I think, the current administration doesn't see things that way.
Well, neither did the previous one. I mean, they talked about it, but yeah. But the other problem is, I don't believe that Netanyahu, or who's the prime minister of Israel right now? Bibi, yeah, Netanyahu.
Yeah, Netanyahu.
I believe that he has no, he's not terribly concerned about Christian principles either, but he's Jewish, so of course he would be
and essentially, for just something like the existence of Israel, the Jewish principles are going to be the same as the Christian principles. I mean, his belief, the Israeli, they're going to believe that those that bless Israel, God will bless, and vice versa. But also too, just you mentioned, neither did the previous administration. The previous administration was extremely friendly and supportive to Israel, whatever the reason might be, and there was the previous administration that did move the American embassy to Jerusalem, and it's every previous president had stated they would do that, but none of them did, both Republicans and Democrats.
Why is that a positive thing? All it did is antagonize the Palestinians.
I think it's a positive thing because, quite honestly, I believe that Jerusalem is the rightful place for the nation of Israel to have their capital, and that's, if that's their capital, that's where our embassy should be.
Now, if they decided in 1950, whatever it was, that they wanted to do it in Arizona, we would be talking about... I struggle with how can you take over a country and throw the other people out without any care at all that the other people are being displaced because of your, and I'm putting these in air quotes, your religious beliefs. But then you know my religious position, so...
Well, one of the problems, I mean, during this whole thing, after World War II, there was a lot, and there should have been a lot of sympathy toward how people of the Jewish faith were treated during World War II in Germany by Hitler and the Nazis, and that's how this all came to be. Now, why in the world Germany, and it was Germany and the people who were dividing things up after that war, decided to put the Jewish people I don't know how you give... I really don't know how they decided that that was Germany's land to give away. I don't know how that came about.
Yeah, and it was just taken from the people.
As I laid out Sunday, the historical background to that land, and Glenn, I understand, you know, where you stand on religious things. But when you read the Bible...
Oh, I don't read the Bible anymore. I've read it twice. That's plenty.
So then you already know what I'm going to tell you then, if you've read it twice, is that piece of land that is occupied by Israel today is the only piece of land on this planet that God has ever specifically promised to any group of people.
Now, were you there when God promised that?
No, I wasn't.
Do you know anybody that was there? And I'd like to hear what God's voice sounds like while you're there.
But, you know,
I don't believe in your God, so that makes it
tough.
That's
fine. And that's fine, but the God I believe in did promise that land to that group of people.
Well, the God I believe in...
real estate to anybody else.
The God I believe in says treat all people fairly, and I don't think they were... The people that lived there at the time were treated fairly, but that you know, we're never going to win the...
This has happened in other areas of the world, too. I mean, we came here, certainly the group that sponsored Christopher Columbus and displaced people who were on this land, and we certainly aren't giving it back, so...
Well, and that's, you know, that was another point I made Sunday, is that go back to the beginning of time, and there have been battles and wars fought over practically every inch of real estate on this planet. I mean, you know, Asians have stolen land from other Asians. Africans have stolen land from other Africans. Europeans have stolen land from Native Americans. Native American tribes stole land from other Native American tribes. Doesn't make it right.
Yeah,
no, it's something that has happened since the beginning of time.
Equivalencies are not a good way to justify a person's position. Let's face it, we are animals, and we will take what we want to take as long as we're the stronger animal.
But I do think it's hypocritical for the United States, in a way, to be judging the Israel-Palestinian conflict, because we did the same thing to the Native Americans.
Yeah, we did.
And, you know, you could use that argument to say that anybody is critical of anybody else.
That's right.
Anybody else's land.
You're absolutely
because
right.
It's happened all throughout history. How far back do you want to go to blame your ancestors for taking somebody else's land?
I'm certain that there was a guy back in the Stone Age that beat the crap out of somebody and took his wife from him and stole her to his cave. So, yeah, it's gone on forever. Doesn't mean it's right. It does kind of condemn the position of humankind as being an animal.
Go back to the 700s. I mean, that land of Palestine, which, by the way, there has never, ever been a sovereign country called Palestine. That Palestine refers to an area of land.
Mm-hmm.
But go back to the 700s. 90% of the people living in what is Palestine were Christian and Jewish, but they got invaded by the Muslims over
yeah,
the century.
You're absolutely
and so,
right.
You know, I mean, where do we draw the line about who originally had the land and who does it belong to?
That's what I'm saying. There is no line.
Right. So I think possession of the land is just going to be a moot point. I think what I am trying to figure out now, because it is one of the big issues we're talking about for the first time in a long time with Israel and Palestine, is just why is the U.S. supporting we're not supporting Palestine, it doesn't feel like, but it certainly seems like we're not supporting Israel, where in all other cases we have.
Yeah, and I think that's just, I agree. We always have, and now we're not, and I think that's just the philosophy of the current administration. I mean, it's the current, it doesn't matter which president it is, they set the tone for what their administration is going to do on these types of matters.
I believe that it's
simply a matter of, that's this administration's position, is they don't want to support Israel as strong as we have in the past. Why, I don't know, but that's my belief.
It's interesting. Well, Pastor, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay.
And Pastor Craig's show is on every Sunday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. right here on this station, and it will be on this Sunday right before Memorial Day. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if the line's ringing busy. Just means we're on the line with somebody else, so call in, 740-383-9944. I really think the whole thing about whose land is it, which I understand is what the whole argument's coming down to, who gave what who in this whole thing, I think that's very difficult to explain, but I think right now the problem is how do we create peace there, because that's what every diplomat has been trying to do for a long, long time.
Yeah. Now, one of my favorite songs, and I'm showing my age, I can't remember the name of it. It was written by, not Paul McCartney, it was written by... the one that got killed.
Lennon.
Yeah, John Lennon. John Lennon wrote a song about how to have peace. And one of the ways of having peace is let's do away with religions and let people live as people live. You know.
John Lennon, though, didn't create peace in the Beatles.
Oh, no, he certainly didn't.
He did not. And I don't think that had anything to do with beliefs.
What was the name of that song? I'm losing it. I really am losing it. I listen to it every day. I'll look it up and tell you later.
But people, just like Patch Adams said this morning, we're bound to have conflict. Unfortunately, we like to argue.
Yeah, we do. And you know, the nice thing about having the pastor call in, he and I would argue forever about those things. But to be able to argue and be civil, like I think we were being, I think that's what we need to do.
I'm just more fascinated by the situation. I've always been fascinated by the Israeli-Palestinian disagreement over land. Because it seems like they should be able to get along. And they just don't. And generations have been at this now. And it seems like really, let's relax.
Well, and the pastor's right. That land really was initially not run by the Palestinians. I mean, the group that's there now, it was, there were a huge amount of Christians were there, and they were kind of run off that land. But that's what's gone on throughout eons, is somebody runs you off your land, and so I'm going to get even with them. And getting even is a losing story as far as I'm concerned. And that's what we're trying to do, get even.
Well, here in the United States, I think we keep trying to make amends. You know, we gave the Indians casinos, and we gave them all this, and then we are very sensitive, some people feel hypersensitive about certain emblems. We certainly don't call them Indians anymore. We call them Native Americans, and I think now it's even going to indigenous people. We don't, the whole sports teams have changed their names now. But I think we are trying to make some kind of amends, but we're not going to give the land back.
The song I was thinking about, by the way, was Imagine.
Imagine.
But it is something that's hard to imagine. Imagine countries without borders and that sort of thing. But anyway, making amends is almost as ludicrous as giving away somebody else's land. We can't make amends for the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of Native Americans. And I hear you when you're not quite sure what we're supposed to call them anymore. That gets a little offensive to me as well. What are you supposed to call people? You call them people.
Yeah, but does anybody said what they want to be referred to? Because, you know, we do, we say, that's a woman, that's a man, that's a redhead, that's a tall, that's a short. So I don't know why it keeps changing. I mean, we call a Russian a Russian. We used to call them people from the Soviet Union. What is the proper term? I understand why we did away with Indian, because that was Christopher Columbus's name he gave them.
Because he thought he had landed in
the West Indies.
East Asia, yeah.
Yeah, but now Native American was okay for a long time, so I thought they had okayed that, the Native Americans, but apparently that's not okay. Well, so I don't understand.
Yikes, because I still refer to them as Native Americans.
Well, now it's indigenous people.
Okay, well, indigenous people could be anybody from people that we used to call Eskimos to people down in Australia, the African or the black people in Australia, which they call, what do they call them now? I can't remember. Anyway, call them people. Quit calling people by names just because of the color of their skin or the language that they speak. There are people. We are all of the same race. We are all humans.
Right, but if I'm trying to explain to somebody that people of European descent...
You call them people of European descent.
But that's not people. I'm making a
okay.
How do I do that? If I'm trying to explain the story of the indigenous people and the Europeans and how America came to be America, how do I do it if I just the people came from Europe to the people who were here, mm-hmm. and those people were displaced off their land, and the people took their land, and then
the people
those people
from Europe took their land, yeah.
But I mean, people were saying, what people?
Well, you'd have to refer to them by where they were from, I guess.
Right, which is, and where
it
were they?
It's very mouthy.
Right, but where were the Native Americans, indigenous people from?
Well, the indigenous, that's a hard word to say. It means from that country, from that land, where they were living.
But we don't, but weren't, didn't they come across the land bridge?
Yeah, did they come across the land bridge? And they were actually Asian. Who knows?
Oh, figure it out. We'll
that's
be back in 15
why, don't worry
minutes.
About it.
We'll be back in 15.
Neighborhood, say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs, did you ever think you